Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what's the hot topic we've discussed this week?
Well, people are going to think that I have fallen and bumped my head, but the hot topic I think that we need to discuss this week is when and why we should or someone should decline a job offer. Ooh. And given the fact that I know that right now we're in a client-driven market, whereas this time last year it was more of a candidate-driven market, we're seeing where candidates are starting to get a bit frightened because there are fewer opportunities out there. And I know that it's human nature to, you know, bird in the hand, birds in the bush, that whole whatever that thing is. But I think that people start getting a little frightened, and I believe that human nature starts causing people to maybe make decisions that perhaps they wouldn't make in a different market. So good topic. When and why you should decline a job offer.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So let's see. Do we want to just jump into examples? This may be the best way to get started.
I would like that. Natalie had a really good example of a gal that she just spoke with yesterday. And mm-hmm. I love how this gal is handling her situation. But Natalie, the floor is yours.
So yeah, it was great to hear how she approached the situation, because she was telling me how she had interviewed with a big size CRO and was going to be assigned to a particular sponsor, but that the travel was going to be a lot. They even asked her questions as far as like, you know, what do you do during your personal time? Will it affect our travel expectations? And she's like, you know, if I have to travel, I have to travel, but I'm not that desperate to where I need to get anything and never be home during the week or even have an office day during the week. So it was nice because her company is shutting down. So she is looking very actively for a new job. And she interviewed with this company, but she was like, I'm sorry, I have to decline. This does not fit with what I'm looking for, which was very nice to hear, because sometimes people get into that position where they just take anything, and then eventually it will be a bad decision. And not mm-hmm. only that, it will affect their brand as a consultant or even as a clinical research professional, even if they're not a contractor or if it's a perm, because if they're not happy at some point, they're going to leave, and you don't want it to be to where they end the contract early or leave before a good amount of time being in a perm position, because it mm-hmm. just doesn't look right or look good, I should say.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I love that she did that too. First off, for those of you guys that are listening out there, companies should never, ever be asking you what you do in your personal time. You're crossing a boundary that is borderline illegal as it relates to the candidate's individual rights. What a candidate does when they're off of work is up to what the candidate wants to do. With that being said, I absolutely agree. And I love the fact that the company was so transparent about their travel requirements, because a lot of companies aren't. We supported a large CRO several years ago, and we don't support the large CROs actively anymore. And this part of the reason is because most of the time they're not transparent. You know, we supported a really, really large CRO several years ago that used to advertise the travel was only 50%. That was just so not true. and we would tell our candidates when we would put them in front of the CRO, they're going to tell you it's 50%. I'm going to tell you, you're going to travel 4 days out of the week minimum. And we would tell them that. And we would then provide the CRAs that were able and willing to do that kind of travel so that there was no sticker shock once they got in there. Because even all through the interview process, they would say 50%. So kudos to the company for being mm-hmm. transparent yeah. about it. But even more kudos to the fact that this gal knows at this point in her life what she's looking for.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. And is willing to decline it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a matter of being in control of your career, mm-hmm. I would say. We talked about that a bit on a podcast a couple weeks ago about that desperation factor, but being selective in mm-hmm. the present will help you in the future. It's about mm-hmm. your path. And if you settle now, you don't know what the market's going to be like in mm-hmm. 1 month, 2 months, 6 months. You, to Natalie's point, you don't want to be jumping around you don't want to hurt your brand and you don't want to settle. So keeping that in mind is really important.
I agree. And it's about your balance, too. It is about your career trajectory and what you want that to look like. But it's about your personal balance, too, and what boundaries you want to set. I personally wouldn't want to work for a company that asks me what I do in my spare time. I take long walks on the beach. I read novels that are romantic in nature. I mean, come on. Why is it your business what I do in my personal life?
You know? Right. I appreciate that they're trying to get at a work-life balance, but don't ask me what that is. Right.
Exactly. I would be offended. But anyway, just put that out in the universe. But Maya, our newest team member, had a really great example that she gave of something that happened to her before we started the recording. I told her I was going to put her on the spot. Maya, talk to me. It's kind of along the same lines, though, isn't it? About what we were just talking about.
Yeah. So when during the COVID pandemic, when the economy across the globe was all over the place, and no one knew what was going to happen tomorrow or in the next month or year, I was job searching and I was offered a job with the government here in Canada. And it was remote and it offered a lot of flexibility. It had a lot of great things on paper. But this one where it was just the pay wasn't where it needed to be. And, you know, it was kind of explained to me, you know, any job needs to complement your life. You know, it needs to be able to allow you to live the life you want to see. And if it doesn't work, you know, why put yourself in a situation where you're just going to be really stressed out day in, day out just for, you know, for something that, you know, you can find anywhere else, essentially. And so it's kind of like it wasn't to see it as a rejection. It was to see it as they're going to find someone that really fits that role. And you're going to go find the role that really fits you. And just, it's not a rejection. It's not turning something down. It's just allowing people to find places where they get to thrive. And that's something we all want. And just knowing where you get to thrive is super important. And to find that is, you know, you got to be intentional about that.
That is exactly right. And Rachel had an example of that too, because being able to thrive is really important. And I love how you stated it. It's not that you rejected the offer, it's that you stepped aside and let someone else take it that it would fit better. And then it freed you up to be able to go and continue the search for something that would fit you better. You know,
yeah. And we found one a month later.
There you go. Exactly. Because you were able to do that. But if you had started that job, you would have stopped your search. Or even if that other job had presented itself, you may have not considered it because you committed to the first job. My team laughs all the time, but it's kind of like being in a bad relationship. You know, you're with this guy or this gal, whatever, you know, and they're it's just not a good relationship. Isn't it hard to find another relationship while you're in a really bad one? I mean, you kind of have to end one in order to go into a new one because you've got to, again, set that intention. So, Rachel, talk to us about an example that you gave.
Well, yes, in my 10-year career in a different industry, I get a lot of offers from time to time. To switch to their company, but I had to turn them down because I know I'm on the right path in my career. I mean, I'm getting a career progression and I'm getting the job that I want. So for me, it's only a distraction if I would, you know, entertain other offers from another company. Mm-hmm. And also me staying on this one company for a long time is me giving myself a good brand. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. That's why these people coming after me is because I have a good brand. I mean, I'm staying in one company. I mean, I just don't jump from one job to another. So
that's such a great point. Okay. Yeah.
10 years important.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. And not that, you know, people don't have blips where they end up in a situation and then they have to bail, right? But when you see several of those on somebody's resume, you know, we had a guy not too long ago, you know, he said he left one company because a parent passed away and he needed some time off. But then his resume showed he started another company that right away. I mean, there was no break, right? And then he was with that company for a really short period of time. Well, they weren't teaching me drug. Okay, well, didn't you know that when you took the job? I mean, you were only with them for a handful of months. It's that how much are you in control of your career? And when you make a decision to accept a job, is it because you, not just because you need the paycheck, but because it fits your career and your path? Like Rachel just said, you know, it was the path that I knew that I was on, which meant that you had to consciously explain to yourself outline what you feel that your path is on. You guys hear us talk about it all the time. Are you in control of your career? Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, I love this. We've talked about the why you should decline a job offer. How about the how? How do you gracefully then decline that offer? And to Angela's point, you know, trying to keep the doors open, keep the networking going, making sure that your brand is protected. How do we do that?
Well, you throw garbage at them and you slam the door shut. No. So, well, I think, first of all, you don't waste their time. And that starts before the offer is given. You know, sometimes I see candidates apply for things that you know they're not a fit for. And they say, well, you tell them, you know, you don't meet this qualification, or you're not in the right location, or, you know that. And they're like, well, what did I have to lose? Well, you have a lot to lose, because now you've ticked me off, right? Because you've wasted my time. My time is gold. I mean, the amount of hours that sometimes I end up working, and that your hiring managers and your other recruiters and your future operations managers work, is crazy. And they're looking for someone to supplement their team, and they're serious. So you as a candidate need to be serious. Don't waste their time. If you know you're not interested, if you know you're not a fit, don't waste their time, first off, right? Because then if they try to put a square peg in a round hole for you because they like you, and then you end up saying, it's not a good fit. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't decide throughout the interview process that it's not a fit, and you decide to step aside. That's a whole different ballgame. You know, you apply for a position and there's a reason for it. You love working for, you want to work for that company, or you really like the role, or you like the way the job description was written, or, you know, you've Googled the hiring manager and, I'd really like to work for Angela or whatever. Those are all great reasons to apply for a job. Perfect reasons to apply for a job, because there's something in it that aligns with your path, as Rachel said, or to your balance, like Maya was talking about. I mean, that's important, right? So go for it. And then if you decide throughout the interview process that, okay, now it's not a fit, then yes, you want to decline the opportunity. This is where, Becky, to your point, you want to do it in a way to where it keeps the door open so that they want to reconsider you for future opportunities. I don't know about the rest of the faces that are staring at me and what your advices would be, but my advice would be is just be honest and transparent about the reason why, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. And especially helpful for contractors. A lot of the folks we work with are contractors, and you can think about it in like a revolving door sort of situation. If you nurture that network and you do a good job and you leave a good taste in their mouth when that project is ended and they don't have something for you now, or even the thing that they have for you is not quite the project you want to be working on right now, but you've still had a good relationship and you decline that gracefully, you don't waste their time, then maybe when they do have the project that is a good fit for you and you're clear and transparent about what you want and what you're looking for, they'll remember, oh yeah, we have this ophthalmology study. That's what so-and-so really wanted to do. And now we've got one on our docket, maybe a small CRO or something. Oh, that's perfect. Let's call them up and see if they're available, you know? So think about it like a revolving door, revolving opportunities and benefits, especially in the contractor realm.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. But on the flip side, when that evolving door happens or revolving door happens, and then a company comes back to you, and a gal that works with us, her husband was given an opportunity. He was laid off several years ago. It was at the pandemic. He was laid off from a company that he just loved, that company, loved it, loved his job, loved it. And it's just one of those things. Sometimes companies have to do layoffs, and he was caught up in it. And they came back to him about 6 months ago and asked him to come back to the company. And so that's what, three and a half years ago. And he said, he told Maya, he said, ask Angela what her thoughts are. And I told Maya, I said, well, here's what he needs to consider. Is it the same management style? Is it the same managers? Because if it's not the same managers, the manager's management style is going to be different. And is it is the company still have the same mission? COVID changed the business model and mission of a lot of companies. So is it the same mission? Is it the same team? You know, I mean, because if the company culture is different, if the management is different, it's not the same company. right? So in those instances, you got to treat it like a brand spanking new job, brand spanking new company, and would you go work with them? And he ended up doing that due diligence, and he decided not to go back. So that's another thing is, and to Rachel's point, you know, people find you all the time, right? And be, you know, feel good about that. Right. I mean, from an egotistical standpoint, is it that nice? Right. That people are searching you out. But consider that just because they think you're great, that doesn't mean that the company is going to be great for you. And you've got to look at it both ways. Every situation has to be a two-way street. And if you're not looking at it that way and you think, oh, they're giving me an offer, I'm going to take it. I got a mortgage payment to make. There's no doubt that's a true statement. But reconsider what other options you may have out there. Now, what about one last thing before we wrap up? What about if, seriously, you've got two job offers, three job offers? And I know in today's economy, that's less likely to happen than it did a year ago, but it's still happening. We've got a candidate now that has two job offers on the table. And she worked with one of the companies back before Christmas, and the project was put on hold. And so there was this big stop, you know, kind of stop. So for several months, she was kind of waiting for something else to happen. And now the company wants her back, but she has another offer, and she's really struggling with accepting that offer. Anybody have any advice for that person?
Well, I would say first, look at your long-term goals. You've got to write out, where do you want to be? I know sometimes I hate this question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah, I hate it too.
Everybody hates that question. But in a way, if you already have set your goals and you know your trajectory and where you want to go, maybe not within a set timeline like that, but if you have an idea, you're on a path, you compare those opportunities to see what's going to align most with where I want to be and where I want to go. You know, you can weigh the pros and the cons, you can do a little list for yourself, but really, it which one aligns the most with my path and where I want to be in the future.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. And it can't just be about the money. And it can't just be about the type of company. It's got to be a sum total. You have to know going in what it is that you're looking for. And my question for this individual really is, okay, this company was fine for you in November. You were all excited. Today, you're not. What's changed? You know, and if you've got a real good answer to that, then this isn't a judgment question. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, have you thought about it? Right? Because if it's just because one is offering a little bit higher rate than the other, then are you going to be okay 6 months from now when that project is ended and this company still has ongoing projects? You got to look at the big picture.
Bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, team, thank you so much. This was such a great topic and very timely for the current market. I really hope everybody out there has enjoyed it. Thank you all for listening. And if you want to explore more of our content, you can visit creresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox. And feel free to reach out at creresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.